Ouch. In our reading, the crowds, you can certainly hear me now because I can hear myself. In our reading, the crowds came from towns and cities to hear Jesus. They'd come together because they recognized something special in him. They recognized that Jesus offered, as he still does, something they hadn't got. That's something many Christians today would describe perhaps as an inner peace, a contentment, a joy, irrespective of what is going on in the world around them. And this joy arises from a real, from a living relationship with Jesus, the Son of God who died, rose again, having defeated death. And our relationship with Jesus brings us forgiveness, irrespective of what we've done. It brings unconditional love and eternal life, none of which society can offer. So if that's the case, why do people turn their back on Jesus? Why do people reject him? In this passage from Mark, commonly known as the parable of the sower, or perhaps it should be called the four soils, Jesus is in effect holding up a mirror in which we can see the state of our hearts. He is diagnosing what is going on within us. To put it another way, Jesus is asking the question, what is your relationship with me like? When he asks us to look at our hearts, to review our relationship with him, he is comparing our hearts to one of the types of soil Mark recounts from Jesus' story. The story, the parable Jesus uses, will, I would argue, be understood by those of us who are city dwellers and those of us who do not profess to have green fingers. And in verses 3-8, Jesus tells us to listen and describes four types of soil. The hard soil, the shallow soil, the thorny ground, and the rich soil. Four different types of soil which our hearts can be classified as fitting. None of us this evening can deny we have not heard of Jesus and not received his seed. Why? Because Judith read it to us. The question Jesus is asking us is, what type of soil does your heart represent? What is your relationship with him like? Verses 14 through 20 leave us in no doubt as to what Jesus is saying. And to help us understand, just in case any of us are in any doubt, let's start by going back to verse 4, where we see we're not the only ones in this story. Birds came and devoured the seed. Birds that on the face of it are harmless, and after all, who doesn't like watching birds peck at seeds? But don't be under any illusion as to who the birds represent. In verse 15, Jesus says, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. In our society today, Toby, if you can bring up the next slide, Satan can be perceived as a joke. Someone who's portrayed in Halloween, in horror films, or even as this image in a children's cartoon. In other words, he's not real. Or he's portrayed as a powerful negative force in our world, as this next image shows, And in fact, this image is one of the nicer images, if there is such a nice thing as a nice image of Satan. I don't recommend you Google the word Satan. The images are horrific. But he's portrayed as a powerful and negative force and one to stay clear of. But Jesus is saying Satan is neither a joke nor someone to stay clear of. He's saying he's a thief. Let's go back to the next. Go back to the main slide. Enough of Satan in that context. But Satan is someone that gets inside our heads and our hearts, stealing the words Jesus says. And we may want to stay clear of Satan, but he has no intention of staying clear of us, of staying clear of you, or staying clear of me. Jesus is saying, Satan the devil is a thief who wants to steal the words Jesus gives us. The sign that Toby just put up, you may have seen a sign like this, something similar, on a lamppost or a fence. Warning, thieves operate in this area. You're obliged not to be their victim. Guard your valuables. Jesus is giving us a similar warning. He is making us aware of the risks and to guard ourselves. We should be under no illusion. There is a spiritual battle going on, and we're not obliged to be Satan's victims. And in verse 15, Jesus says, for some people, as soon as the seed has been sown, as soon as they have heard Jesus' words, Satan immediately takes these words away. He steals them. He steals what is valuable, and so quickly that some people don't know they had something of immense value before it was stolen. The soil is hard. It is soil people have walked on and compacted. It has become hard, so the seed bounces off the surface. In the context of our hearts, in the context of our relationship with Jesus, what is it that makes our hearts so hard? What is it that makes people's hearts so hard that we don't accept, that they don't accept Jesus' word? The answer can be found earlier in Mark, in chapter 2, verse 17. There is no need to look it up, but it says, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. Jesus hasn't come for those who think they are healthy, who see themselves as law-abiding citizens. Jesus has come for those who realize they are ill, who need help, and they need someone to save them. When a person becomes a Christian, or if you're still considering a relationship with Jesus, a key deciding factor was, or will be, your realization that you're not healthy, that you need help, the help of someone who can save you. And as many of us here this evening already realize, his name is Jesus. But there are many in our society who go through life saying, I don't need the help of Jesus. I don't need a crutch. I'm more than capable of looking after myself. Their hearts are like hard, compacted soil. And if they have thought about Jesus, they've either dismissed him or kid themselves by thinking, I'm a good person, therefore I'm bound to go to heaven. What these people are saying is, I'm not a sinner. They may view Jesus as a moral, upstanding person, maybe an ancient teacher that has a place at Christmas or at a baptism, But that's all. Let's move on to consider the shallow soil. A thin layer of soil lying on top of rock in which the seed is sown. The rock heats quickly and the warmth germinates the seed. But as the seed grows, the shallow soil can't sustain the growth. In the context of someone's Christian faith, it's when a person comes into contact with Jesus, perhaps at Christmas or another occasion, and they understand what they hear. They recognize Jesus for who he is. They recognize they need help. You've probably heard of the expression, the honeymoon period. It's a time when everything is going well. Life is wonderful. But then come difficulties. The challenges of everyday life kick in, and the gloss of Jesus' words fade. The relationship becomes distant. And it's at this point that Satan swoops. And in verse 17, we're told it's not if, it's when troubles associated with everyday living occur. Alex Mottier, the theologian, wrote, "There is no such thing as an untested faith. There is no such thing as an untested faith." If you're expecting, and I appreciate many of you here this evening already realize this, but if you're expecting your relationship with Jesus to be plain sailing without difficulties, you're deluding yourselves. Your relationship, my relationship with Jesus, will and is full of difficulties. Difficulties that arise because of tensions between what Jesus is asking of us, how we should live our lives, which at times will be different from how we want to live them, and very different from how society wants us to live them. It ain't easy. So those people who didn't sign up for or didn't realize the challenges they would incur by having a relationship with Jesus, break it off. And Satan is keen for our relationship with Jesus to be shallow. For people to say, this relationship is not worth the hassle. This person's heart is just like shallow soil that cannot sustain a relationship with Jesus. Jesus then talks about the thorny ground. There are people who hear Jesus' word and embrace it. They survive the difficulties life or Satan throws at them, and the seed, their relationship with Jesus, flourishes. But Satan doesn't give up. He has many ways of which to snare people. Prosperity, our ability to covet money and possessions. These people do not reject Jesus. In fact, being part of the church becomes a lifestyle. And picking up on a point that Wendy Downey said in her sermon recently, this person is not a fan, is a fan, not a follower. This person is a fan, not a follower. Their hearts follow the world whilst trying to follow Jesus. The problem is, it doesn't work. Essentially, they're putting conditions on their relationship with Jesus. Jesus, you can have aspects of my life, aspects that won't cause me to be too uncomfortable, but you can't have my entire life. That's out of bounds. It's a bit like me saying to Fiona, my wife, I'll let you into my heart when it's convenient. I'll let you into my life when it's convenient, when I need something. But when it's not convenient, would you mind not getting in the way, please? Any of those who know Fiona, and you can ask her later on, actually, you can probably anticipate her reaction. To say Fiona would be put out would be an understatement. But if I persisted with this style of relationship, it wouldn't surprise me when it came to a crunch point that actually said, enough is enough. And she walked out. She broke off our relationship. That is, after telling me exactly what she thought of me. For those people whose relationship with Jesus only allows him into their lives when it's convenient or they have a need, their hearts reflect the thorny ground. The thorns, the wealth they covet, the desires they have, which are their focus. They take precedence over their relationship with Jesus. Their relationship, if it could be called that, is not productive and yields nothing. Satan is at work. And finally, there is the good soil, the rich soil. Someone who hears Jesus' word, and despite everything Satan throws at them, their relationship with Jesus flourishes. They are content with who they are, and they're content with their relationship with Jesus. It would be naive to think that there are not times when the relationship isn't strained or it feels distant. Yes, discerning what Jesus is saying to us, what he wants us to do at times is not at all clear. In fact, it's downright difficult. But their relationship with Jesus is real. It is a relationship that they work at day in, day out. Yes, Satan is trying to trip them up, but their relationship is solid. There is a dialogue. There is forgiveness. There is asking for forgiveness. And there is love, and in return, unconditional love from Jesus. In verse 20, Jesus says, "Those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it, and bear fruit 30-fold, and 60-fold, and 100-fold. It is worth saying that not all Christians will be equally productive, will equally bear the same fruit. But there will be evidence of spiritual fruit when the heart is like a good soil. So if you're asking yourself the question, am I productive? Please be careful not to beat yourself up, because sometimes we will not see the fruits of our labor this side of heaven. But equally, do not become complacent. So this passage is about asking what type of relationship we have with Jesus. What type of soil best describes our hearts? And I'd like to close by asking each of you a rhetorical question, and a question that I need to ask myself as well. Do you, do I, have the courage to ask someone who really knows us, someone we trust, what type of soil best describes our heart? Is it the hard, compact soil? The shallow soil? The thorny ground? Or the good soil, the rich soil? If we can't ask ourselves this question, let alone someone we trust, we are at risk of allowing Satan to get inside our head and our hearts and steal the words Jesus has to say to us, to hinder our relationship with him. Because one thing we can be certain, Satan never stops trying. But equally, Jesus' love is unconditional. And he never stops forgiving. Amen.